Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation here on FUBAR Radio. Oh, we have a lovely show in store. I've got a brilliant co-host who is there dancing along to our little jingle. Kate Martin will be joining us in just a moment. We have a very exciting guest, an icon of British TV for the last 80 years? Well, let me do my maths. 60 plus years. I went too old for him there. But he'll be on his way and in the studio very excitingly.
Boom, boom.
That's all I can say for now. And then we'll have the brilliant Ted Milligan joining us later on as well for our debates, for our fill in the headlines, all that sort of stuff. But let's start, as we always do, with the news this week, which has been wide-ranging and, as ever, depressing. I was talking to Kate before we started the show about, oh, I wonder what debate we could do. I'm just going through, like, what's a topical debate? Oh, assisted dying. Is racism bad? Like, yeah, let's not do that for our light touch comedy show. But it does start with a comedy of errors over in the US very recently. It's come out that an Atlantic journalist, the editor-in-chief, Jeffrey Goldberg, was accidentally added to a WhatsApp group by the Trump administration's defense team. Now, thank God they didn't add me if I was the journalist, because I don't know about you, my rule for WhatsApp groups, immediate mute. I would have missed all of the hot gossip on that. But look, I understand. We've all done it. We've all accidentally added the wrong person to a group chat. Maybe not so much that we've, you know, spilt national secrets and attack plans for global war. But we've all done it. I remember in school, in our history A-level, somebody thought it'd be funny to create a copy the profile of a teacher, so have the same profile picture, and then add the same name as our teacher, and then add it to the history banter group chat, and then everyone will like shit their pants and go, oh my God, the teacher's in the group chat. So they did that, they created the fake profile, then added the real teacher by mistake, because they couldn't tell the difference because they'd copied the profile. So look, we've all done it, we've all made those WhatsApp blunders, but that is quite a big one. Amongst national secrets and wartime plans, there was also a sort of presidential congressman, there was a congressman who was deriding the pathetic European freeloading. That was there in text, ready to be reported to the world. And I think it's quite rich, actually, for the Americans to have a go at pathetic European freeloading when they've been freeloading off our language, culture, and genocidal groundwork for centuries now, right? Your warmongering bastards are standing on the shoulders of our even bastardier warmongering bastards, okay? And very fittingly for this show, another congressman labelled the whole mishap with one word: FUBAR. Fucked up beyond all recognition. Speaking of which, staying with the White House, of course, Conor McGregor headed over to America. The invitation of Trump to represent Ireland. Of course, he's the new Irish ambassador, and Irish people love that. They love Conor McGregor. I know producer Kieran in the booth, he doesn't have a mic, he can't defend himself. He was saying he loves Conor McGregor so much. He's actually got a Conor McGregor tattoo. That's how much he loves. Obviously, I'm joking. He was roundly called a cunt, obviously not to his face. You wouldn't do that to an MMA fighter. I do love the sort of policy of MMA, because it is taken all these, it's mixed martial arts, if you didn't know. So what they've done is taken all these martial arts with these sort of historical, philosophical, interesting backgrounds, you know, this sort of, this has got this principle of self-defense and this principle of like universal energy, and then MMA has gone, yeah, all of that. But just the kicky bits, please. Just the kicky bits. So yeah, that's the sort of a person that's representing Ireland over in America, much to many's chagrin. Also, back into the UK, very excitingly, whilst Conor McGregor's gone over the Atlantic, coming the other way is Stevie Wonder, who's announced some UK dates, very excitingly. Although, having seen his tour lineup, what he's got coming up in store, I would like to petition here now on the radio to put some laws in place for naming of national music venues, right? Why are we taking one of the world's greatest musicians and putting him in the Co-op Live Manchester, the Utilita Arena, the TK Maxx Presents Lytham Festival? That's a genuine tour schedule. These sort of shops should not be sponsoring music venues. I'm sorry, what's next? Bruce Springsteen in the Aldi Dome, right? The Wetherspoons Festival of Soul with Gladys Knight. No, it's not acceptable, okay? We need sensible naming for our venues. How can we even explain what the Co-op is to Stevie Wonder? It's like, oh, well, if you've forgotten to get milk in the big shop, then they've sponsored the arena, I guess. I mean, it's mad. But elsewhere in Britain, there's some exciting cultural news that metal detectorists have found a once-in-a-lifetime Iron Age hoard that could change Britain's history. An Iron Age hoard unearthed in Yorkshire contained over 800 items. Now, this is very interesting for me because I actually I know metal detecting in the UK pretty intimately. I've played metal detecting rallies as a comedian. Yes, rallies. That's the language they've chosen for themselves. And I can tell you this about metal detecting in the UK is it's pretty much an even split. It's 50-50 down the middle. Kind old men who love history, right? They've got a hobby. You know, they like time team. They like archaeology and all that sort of stuff. It's very sweet. And then the other half is because the UK doesn't have a gun culture, they've taken up metal detecting. I don't know whether they're looking for their own guns via the hobby, I'm not sure. But basically, metal detectorists, 50% autistic old men who love Roman coins. The other half, literal Nazis, right? That's what we're dealing with. I don't know which has found this once-in-a-lifetime Iron Age hoard, whether, you know, they've got a lot of World War II memorabilia, but or World War II memorabilia from the wrong side. You know, there's the sort of people that have read a lot of books about Hitler or have read one book and it's by Hitler. That's sort of the split of UK metal detecting. They either love Tony Robinson or Tommy Robinson. That's the sort of the split. So yes, I don't know who's found this Iron Age hoard, but it's big news, and we're waiting to sort of get the analysis of the hoard and find out what it might mean for our ancient history. And in sort of lighter news, the news that maybe you're not often that caring about, the football World Cup qualifiers have started, and I am a football fan. I'm a gay football fan, which of course means I can sing "It's Coming Home." As long as it's the tune of Diana Ross, that's the only stipulation. Yeah. It's coming home, I want the world to know, gonna win the Euros. Yep, you can see that on Diana Ross's next tour at the little super arena. The World Cup, I've really sort of lost interest in the internationals, especially now they've announced that they're going to have a Saudi Arabian World Cup. I mean, it's just not acceptable. But look, I'm not going to get too into the weeds of Saudi Arabia and gay rights. I'm just going to get behind the boys, and that's about it really for the news this week. I've not had a lot of time to think too much about it, to get too much into it. I've actually recently moved house. I've been very distracted with that. Although, you know, as much as the stress of moving has been a lot, I am thankful finally to be free of Dogs Trust. I don't know if you've ever accidentally given your details to the charity Dogs Trust. They will not leave you alone. They will, pardon the pun, hound you down, right? They've got Liam Neeson on the phones, right? You give them your number, they call you up, and they're not subtle about it. They're not like, oh, would you like to donate? They're like, oh, hey, can you set up a direct debit? I'm like, oh, I can't really at the moment. Are you sure? Because if you hang up right now, we'll take a poodle out back and stab it. I'm like, okay, let's set that up. £5 a month, is that enough? Okay, yep, 10, if that will save the poodle, please. I'm free of dog stress. I am piled in moving stress, but I'm relieved and de-stressed by the presence of my wonderful co-host, Kate Martin. Hello.
Hiya, love.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, babe. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Just stressed with moving and stuff and the world affairs. It's
a
lot.
Do you know what? Listening to all that, I've got a really interesting image in my head of you, A, squaring up to Conor McGregor, but not being able to turn down the Dogs Trust.
Yeah, I can happily take on any, and I'm putting this out there, this is live on radio, any MMA fighter, I will fight you. But if you're a charity representative of Dogs Trust, no, absolutely have no backbone.
Also, the moving stress. Have you not enlisted a lesbian?
I have no lesbians in my life down on the South Coast. I did actually think, oh yeah, I tell you what,
sorry,
Kate would have some good advice.
You just invited me on your show and told me you've got no lesbians in your life. No,
on the South Coast.
This.
Also, you were away. You were in America.
Okay, fair point.
Yes.
Have you moved in now?
Yes, yeah, I've moved.
Oh,
properly.
Is it wedded bliss?
let's
move on.
Yeah, yeah. We're still working out lots of kinks and stuff. You like moving?
You're working out your kinks. You should be unpacking. That's really not the time.
Well, we know we need to find what sort of walls have the structural integrity for.
What
our
is it like?
Harnesses
cardboard
and stuff.
Gaffer tape. That is that your thing?
Yeah,
you're
really
finding
into that. No, I never want to see a cardboard box again in my life.
Well done, you're in there, babe.
Thank you. Yes, we're finally there.
Sorry, I abandoned you in your week of need.
That's all right. Yeah, so you were in Seattle and Vancouver.
Seattle, land of the lesbians.
Is it
they're
really?
They're all there.
The American Hebden Bridge.
It is American Hebden Bridge / Brighton. I have never seen so many Birkenstock-clad women in my life.
That's amazing. And because you were saying before we started that Birkenstock has maybe been co-opted by some of the Hackney masses.
I read an article recently that was like, it was about, I can't remember what it was about, but basically the title of the article was something like Birkenstocks, like the new fashion craze of Birkenstocks, like seen on all these hip, trendy, like pop stars and this. And I was like, there was no mention of the lesbians. And I was like, excuse
really?
Me, sorry. Hipsters, pop stars, fine. They've finally caught on to the Birkenstock, but we were the ones that paved the way. I'm yeah. sorry, that is a historically
you
lesbian
trod that
slash
path in your Birkenstocks.
Women's shoe. Mm-hmm. They are flat, they are comfortable. We wore them through the hard times when no one thought they were fashionable, and then we don't even get a mention. That's outrageous.
That really is. That's one of the worst stories. I've read you some really horrible stories earlier, but that's one of the worst stories I've heard.
I'm sorry for any viewers, you know, who are struggling with this obviously devastating yeah. news, but please do reach out for support.
Yeah, there are helplines available. We won't list them, but go to Google. Google's free. you describe yourself as having the longest wingspan in comedy. Just because of the radio medium, for a visual representation, what words would you describe yourself with?
Oh, God, gangly.
Like, gangly? Oh, no, I think you're more... Because you're not like... You are very tall and like sort
limmy.
Of... Limmy. But then you're not like gangling about, you know. I think you've got great control. And this isn't a compliment I often give people. I think you've got great control of your limbs, Kate.
Oh, my God. Are you flirting with me?
Yeah, I actually am.
God, like, I'm feeling... Oh, come over real queer. Do you know your wingspan is supposed to be your height or less? Did you know that?
Oh, so
like if you
when you go like that, yeah.
Tip to tip, so to speak. Mm-hmm. If you measure from like arm to arm, like it should be your height or less.
And so is Christ the Redeemer in Rio? Is that accurate? Have they got that right? I wonder.
I'll take my lesbian tape measure next time I go.
Yeah, please do. But what is your wingspan compared to your height?
13 centimetres longer.
Longer?
Longer.
13 centimetres, that's a lot.
It's not supposed to be the case. We've basically got the wingspan of a 6'5" man. And I'm a 6'1" lesbian. So these flaps.
This, yeah. Do you think you could take off?
Do I think I could take off? I probably could. Yeah. I haven't got the stamina, though, to be fair. I'd like last about 2 metres and then...
That's quite impressive, though.
Let's look at yours.
Yeah.
The wingspan, sorry.
My wingspan, yeah.
Put that away, Andrew.
Oh, please, I can't afford to be cancelled. Just moved house. What do you reckon? I don't know.
I reckon you look about normal.
About normal, thank
Which
you.
Is what I would often say to people as well.
Well, I'm about to say thank you, but actually, I don't want to attach a value judgment to your wingspan height ratio because I think whatever your wingspan height ratio, we love you here at FUBAR Radio, and you're not a freak for being 13 centimeters over.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all, you're welcome.
They do come in useful though. I can reach things. I'm a lost friend meeting point at most festivals for my friends.
I see. Yeah. Have you ever been a lost friend meeting point for? Strangers. People are like, come meet us at the tall lesbian.
Yes, basically. Meet with the dyke on the left-hand side. Like, it's handy, though. Like, you can be seen.
Yeah.
And they're, like, so long and thin and quite pale. I think I could guide planes in quite
well,
easily.
We could have used you at Heathrow with the fire. You could have...
I could have got that bitch reopened.
Yeah. That's what they need. Next time Heathrow shuts down, call in the lesbians.
Call in the lesbians.
Led by Kate Martin, marching down the runways in their Birkenstocks. We've solved the air traffic control crisis.
There'll be a few breakups along the way, which will cause a little bit of delay, because yeah. obviously everyone will have like suddenly bump into an ex because we've like 1 degree of separation.
But you'll all be friends at the end of it and
yeah,
go paddleboarding or whatever you do. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, lovely stuff. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio,
I'd
Kate.
I'd love to say the same.
Well, you're sticking around. You can't. When I say a pleasure, I mean it's. I'm enjoying this greatly. But we have to go to a break, and then we've got a very exciting guest after the break. You know who it is, don't you?
I do know who it is.
Are you excited?
I am excited.
Well, there we go. We'll have to get
too excited.
Stay tuned after the break.
Boom boom.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Well, joining us in the studio, I teased a tantalising, very special guest earlier, and here he is, the one, the only. Basil Brush.
Hello, 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 hello to all at FUBAR Radio. Can I just say, you have the biggest microphones I've ever had the courtesy to talk into.
Yes, you're almost being blocked by this massive sort of a glut of microphone. I'm so sorry, Basil.
Obviously, size is everything. And that, I've got to say, that is coming from someone who's only 18 inches tall. So, yes, size is everything as far as I'm concerned. But my view is particularly wonderful because Kate, sitting next to me, has wonderful socks on, the same colour as my fur. Might I say?
Let's have a look
lovely
at these,
lovely socks. Get them up there.
Wow.
Come on, get them into the shot, Kate. Look at these lovely socks.
Oh, my
goodness.
Kate, you almost absolutely booted Basil in the head then, which is not a sentence I thought I'd ever say in my life.
I'm not sure they've been changed recently, looking at the state of them. But that's all right. It's not me that's smelling.
Yeah, you got lovely, they're lovely orange socks. Where did you get those, Kate?
I got made them out of a fox, actually.
An aunt of mine.
Yeah. Mildred.
Oh, it's amazing to have you on the radio. It's very exciting. You've been an institution since the 60s, Basil.
Yeah, and I'm one of the few that hasn't been arrested. I have been. I'm just celebrating nearly my 65th birthday, and I've got one of those...
You're looking bloody good for it, Baz.
It's not bad. Been refurbed several times. I do recommend it.
Who hasn't?
Little nip and tuck.
Little nip and tuck. Well, anybody who thinks I've had a facelift is talking out the Botox. You set them up and I'll knock them down.
Have you partaken in Ozempic or anything like that?
Not yet, but apparently I just eat far too much. Okay. I have a fascination with bins.
Oh, right. You're going through the bins.
That's what that smell is.
Yeah.
I've just
gone and I've done my area, my territory.
I did that when I walked in. Well, piss in every corner.
Well, that's what you do. Yeah. Honestly, and then nobody goes near it.
It's very similar. Lesbians and foxes, you have a very similar culture.
You've got to mark your territory. Very important, you know. Yeah, we animals set a trend.
A dog in the tool belt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a little wee.
Are you handy? Are you? Oh, yeah, we'll see what sort of lesbian
did
fox.
Did you say handy or handsy?
Handy. Okay, yes, yeah.
Well, I'm used to hands, I can tell you that. I've got my own personal right-hand man.
Well, very nice. Well, that would be a luxury that that we'd love to have in our career. At some point, look, you've done so much. Last year, you were doing cruises and Butler's Big Weekenders and Glastonbury Festival.
Yes, Glastonbury. That's a good one for us. Would you believe I've been there 6 times, Kate? You know, and last year.
Me too.
What tent are you working in?
Oh no, I'm just going there and getting trashed.
Oh, you're just going through getting trashed. Well, actually, you're one of the people I entertain on a Saturday and a Sunday night at midnight. And then do you go off down to Block 9?
I do.
Yeah, I've got to tell you.
I recognised you.
I did an all-nighter in Block 9. I haven't had my tail tugged so many times in one night. I went back for a second and a third and a fourth time.
I've apologised for that. Yeah. I thought we'd move past that, Basil.
No, it is. I've got to say, Glastonbury is in my DNA. Great bins. They have them all painted, don't they? Lovely.
Yes.
Painted
Beautiful.
Bins. We do the kids' field every single day. So I have to work far harder than any of those people on a Sunday afternoon in the legend spot. So we do a show
you
everything.
You are the true legend.
Ah, thank you.
True legend.
But then also, last year, for the very first time, we took part in the cabaret tent, where all the comedians take part. Mm. And they gave us the midnight slot. And I think they thought nobody would probably come and see us. But it was amazing how 2,500 people didn't want to see Coldplay last year. and we literally...
God, what a surprise.
It's a surprise, that. And I think if we were doing it in the afternoon, maybe we'd have a similar number. It's Rod Stewart, isn't he, doing the afternoon slot? I'm not entirely sure. But I'm hoping that he will be the legend he used to be in the 70s, wearing the leopard skin tights.
He's going to have some very tight pants on, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, probably he's probably put on a little bit of weight since then. It's the 70s we're talking about. Mm. So they probably will be extra tight, I think.
Are you going to wear, like, skinny jeans in his honour?
Oh, I should, shouldn't I? Well, the thing is, I used to wear flares.
Did you?
Yeah, well, it was 70s.
I can see you pulling that off.
Yeah. Kept attracting rescue teams.
We've worked through all the decades with some of the legends of music, of entertainment. Who's been the best person you've ever worked with? Your favourite celeb encounter?
I mean, that's sort of the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, Kate, obviously.
Me.
Yeah. Today, obviously. Kate, never worked with Kate before, but she is a legend, apparently.
I've been called better.
With Orange Socks, which I'm rather partial to, I've got to say.
Oh, my goodness.
No,
but the thing is... That's the first time a man's ever flirted with me. I quite like it.
Well, I'm not a man. I'm a fox. I've got to say, that's the million-dollar question. The funny thing is, when you're around 65 years in show business, I can't remember last week what I was watching on the telly, but I do remember in the 70s, because I'm seeing them all on YouTube and all of that, we used to have the great bands that came in, because you didn't have YouTube like you have today. So if you had a single that you wanted to put out, you had to go on a television programme. So mine was one of those on a Friday night. Everybody wanted to get on, and we had the likes of ABBA. You know, Petula Clark would always come on, Lulu, and she would like it when we changed the lyrics to all of her songs and made them funny. The biggest star, I think, that came in was Demis Roussos. Basically, it was the biggest star.
Oh, I see. Yeah. literally the biggest star.
Literally the biggest star that we ever had on there. I do really love the live audiences. That's why I love Glastonbury. Going up to the Edinburgh Fringe, we go around to the big 80s weekends and the 90s weekends at Butlins and the cruise ships. I just thrive on live.
Thrive on live, yeah.
Enjoy cruising, Basil.
Oh, I've got to say, well, it depends which sort of cruising you are referring to. I know there's a big scandal at the moment on Hampstead Heath on a Saturday night, but that's another sort of cruising. But there's nothing nicer, I've got to say. I cruise on the P&O cruises. And this
so do a lot of people.
Absolutely. I'm going to be taking up the fjords, you know. Oh, you should try it.
Charles would be a fine thing, right?
Yes, I haven't, sweetheart.
So yeah, taking up fjords, we go across around the around Portugal and Spain, and you've got 6,500 people. So you literally have got a captive audience.
I have two questions before we wrap up.
I get a prize.
I will give you as many. Well, what do you like? What do you enjoy, Basil? Jelly babies, I suppose.
Jelly babies, yeah.
I will pop to the corner shop down there and I'll buy you some jelly babies.
I want some too.
You can have some jelly babies as well. Yes,
sir. Yeah, people say they don't eat jelly babies. They love jelly babies.
Yeah, oh, it's good. I feel really bad because my dad's diabetic, so he has to have jelly babies in the car as like a sort of medical emergency.
Really?
And he has to keep restocking them because every time I'm in his car, I just eat his jelly babies.
I think I'm having medical emergencies all the time.
I tell you what I like. I don't know if you've ever had this, but like Tang Fastics. You lick your fingers and sort of like dip in the sort of like Tangfastic eczema and just enjoy what's left. Yeah,
make sure I go a little bit like
Licking my fingers is not as easy as it looks.
That is quite a struggle.
Stop it.
My two questions were
two questions.
Number one, do you have any, obviously you've had a long spanning showbiz career, do you have any beef with any other sort of iconic characters, maybe Mr. Blobby or anyone like that? Do you have any sort of showbiz rivalry?
No. I mean, we furries. We refer ourselves as furries. You've heard about all these things. Everybody's a furry now. We're all furries. No, we're all friends together, us furries.
I'm a bit furry now. I'm a 40-year-old woman.
Really? 40 and furry?
40 and furry.
40 and furry. Well, I've set up a new dating website called Furry Friends. You should look on it and you can see people on there, you know. It's very nice. It's for furries like my good self, a little bit of dating. No, I never have a beef with any of them because I'm so much smaller than everybody. I've just got to be careful what I say. So, no, I just sit there and keep it all stum.
Yes, you don't want to kick up a fuss with the wrong person. And then
I guess there's secrets in your eyes, Basil.
Yeah.
Always a secret.
Yes, I suppose you'd become a flying fox if you upset the wrong person.
Yeah, you just got to be careful what you're saying. You're WhatsApped, haven't you?
On that positive note, then, who would you love to work with? Who's one celebrity you'd love to work with in your career?
One who's a similar hat, Kylie Minogue.
Kylie, oh yes,
two foxes together.
Oh my God!
I love Kylie. She was there.
Are you going to see Kylie Minogue this year?
Well, I was there at Glastonbury. When she was there.
Me of course. Too.
Were you there?
Yeah, we cried.
Oh, we cried. Oh, gosh. I tried to get into a hot pants and they fitted me.
No wonder she was crying.
Yes, we were both size, we're both size 2.5. It was a perfect fit. And our brother Danny, love him. Brother Danny. Yes.
Well, our petition, while we have this platform on the radio, I petition Kylie Minogue, if you're listening, do work with Basil Brush. The world needs to see it.
If she's listening?
Of course, Kylie, when you're listening, either on catch up or live, 2 p.m. every Wednesday.
So lucky.
Don't cause a locomotion, bed.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, Basil, it's been a delight to have you in the studio. Thank you so much. Is there anything particularly you would like to plug? Just keep an eye open on what you're doing.
We're going around. I know on May the 3rd, I'm going to be at the new Wimbledon Theatre with my Unleashed show in the evening. Wimbledon on stage. Ooh. Now, this is great. The entire audience will be on the stage. It won't be out in the auditorium. They do it sideways. One end will be a gigantic screen. The other end is a bar, which is perfect. And to your left is the auditorium. So there'll be 150 people with a great big bar at the back. And I'll be doing my late night Unleashed show there and the kids show in the afternoon. I'll be doing the Bath Comedy Festival on the 21st. So, yeah, they're keeping this fox a little busy.
Thank you, Basil. Take care.
No, thank you very much. Boom,
thanks,
boom.
Baz.
Yeah, can I take the mic?
Yeah, take it with you. It's yours.
Thank you. I'm flipping the microphone. I love that.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
And after our brilliant chat with the foxy Basil Brush, we're here with Basil Brush superfan. I'm so sorry you couldn't be here with him. Ted Milligan.
It's actually genuinely one of the most heartbreaking things that's ever happened to me. I love that fox genuinely more than most people I know.
What were you, because you had two Basil Brush stories. One of your birthday, your 21st birthday.
My 21st birthday, I went to Basil Brush Unleashed in Edinburgh, which is his sort of... I would say late night. It was 4 p.m. show where he really took it to a whole nother level. He did this whole like, this is my edgy show sort of thing, and it was just normal Basil Brush jokes, but with a lot more mild sex chat, which is like,
oh, there's nothing better than mild sex.
Yeah, it was just on that border of PG and 12A that was so
really
unleashed
saucy
about Basil. Because I will say this, I've met him twice. I met
all
him
right,
then.
Show off.
Yeah, and I don't mind. I would meet him a million more times if I could. I'd live with him. I met Basil at Chessington World Adventures in 2008, which was an incredible moment. He gave me his free, at the time, new CD. He had just got a new single release out in preparation for the Euros, which we then didn't qualify for. And then, so you can see what
no
that
relation.
Didn't.
No relation. Yeah.
That's why we didn't chart, I think. And then in 2019, I went to Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. And I made my, the first thing we went to at Glastonbury, I made my friends come with me to the kids' tent to watch Basil Brush's 11:55 a.m. show. And I was...
What a raging way to start Glastonbury. I hope you stuck it out like that for 4 days.
That's as good as doing any pill, because you're on a high from Basil. From the whole day, that sounds like an Italian chef. We're on a high from Basil.
Has Basil now got an injunction against you or something? Is that why you weren't?
Yeah, that's why we're not allowed to be in the same room together. Cool, cool. Yeah.
He had to stay 250 meters away until the area had cleared.
Ironically, I was pissing in his garden.
Going through his bins, all that sort of stuff.
No, I had a bag of cans, and I sat at the back, and I was really excited. And then I realised this is just full of children, and I sat
there knocking back
four or five cans, going, "Come on, Basil, do the old stuff. Talk about Cousin Mortimer."
That's so beautiful.
Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Creepy and beautiful is a perfect line. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, it's a perfect line, and you sit exactly in that line. Yeah. Of creepy
Say
and beautiful.
Only men.
I kind of don't know where to go from here. Let's head into some local Facebook forums. Oh, yeah. And I would normally say that these are the weirdest people we experience on the show. We go into
present
local
company excluded.
And now we've raised the bar quite high, so these people might seem quite normal.
As long as we don't go to the Basil Brush fan group on Facebook, where I will be fully out
posting all the time. Yeah.
We looked at yours before you got here. Actually, decided they weren't appropriate to screen.
No.
So
yes, but these are sort of local forums. Are you Facebook dwellers? Do you check out what's happening on there?
I quite like lower league football Facebook groups, because it's that perfect mix between, like, some people are taking it in the right spirit, and then the angriest people who ever lived. And they love to, my favourite sort of thing in lower league football Facebook groups is if there's ever been a sort of mild tragedy at a game, perhaps someone's got injured or, you know, something like that, you'll always get football's bigger than this, brackets York City fan, and all that sort of stuff. You know, I really, really love it. Actually, my favourite thing, which is, it's in, just in terms of people piling on, I really like, is on the
You liking the sound group, of a lesbian pile on, is that what you're going
to... Look, I don't want to come across even worse than I have from the Basil Brush chat earlier, but sometimes on the Plymouth Argyle, which is my football team, chat it's called.
Free chat.
Actually, it has been a disaster this season, RIP Rooney. Sometimes they'll post like ideas for new chants. Some like someone will be like, got an idea for a new chart to the tune of Magic by Pilot. And it'll be like, oh, it's Muselich, who's our new manager. And then it'll be like, please. And the bottom will always be like, please, no hate, I work really hard on this.
Please, no hate.
All the comments will be like, this is a disaster.
I'll confess something to you. We're meant to be getting into these Facebook posts, but I have to get this off my chest and clear my conscience. And it will make you feel a lot better about the embarrassing things you confessed earlier. I'm a Bournemouth fan. I used to be in all the Bournemouth forums. And when I was 15, I would do, a post-match limerick, right? So I do a match report on the game that we just had in the limerick form. And now Bournemouth's a very sweet, tame club. So a lot of people are like, oh, this is sweet. Look at this kid. He's doing this thing. But a lot of people are like, this is shit.
I have to say, of all the clubs where there would be a post-match limerick, Bournemouth is right up there limerick ability. do you remember any of them?
I could easily find them if you want.
If we want.
Yes, okay.
Yes, obviously. Yeah.
I'll find them.
They will be singing this on the terraces when you get Europa League this year.
I'm always looking for new material to bully you with, and I think it's a prime opportunity.
Let's see.
Look at him. Can I find them? Yes, they're already pre-loaded right here.
This one is from AFC Bournemouth 3, Swansea 2. Okay. Max was on hand to open the scoring, but Swansea ensured it wouldn't be boring. But King was too deadly, and Cook with his head he took our ship closer to the Prem safety mooring.
Oh, that's... You've squeezed in quite a lot at the end there,
I'd
say.
Really, yeah, really.
A few extra syllables in there.
Someone got very cocky with the rhyme scheme earlier. I mean, I love the idea that is then sort of chanted on the terraces. Yeah. This whole, like, Roddy Doyle fan base in the corner.
Did you move on to haikus next?
I think I did do a haiku at one point.
Are you fucking joking?
Hang on. Let me add a haiku to this thing and let's see if it comes up.
Did you perform interpretive dance as well, like GCSE drama?
No, but I did get into
football. No goals.
I did get into a fight once on the forum.
Fuck off. In the forum.
I challenge you to a rap battle, sir.
Shit. how you know it is.
I would love to have a limerick off with some on the stands. No, what happened was it was a limerick about us losing. So emotions were high. The people were upset that we'd lost. And somebody called me a muggy cunt. That was the exact wording used.
Not the first time.
No.
It's not all right.
So much so that people really latched onto that. Somebody made a video in their van singing, "He's a muggy cunt, muggy cunt." And about me, and I got really bullied on the forum. And then somebody messaged me like saying, "Hey, I like your limericks. I've got tickets to the Tottenham game and I can't go. Do you want my tickets?" So there's a sweet ending to this.
I thought that was going to go dodgy then, because I thought you were going to say someone messaged you offering you a free ticket to something. And
oh, right. No. Look at this vulnerable teenager doing his limericks. Yeah. He's definitely gay and he's up for it. But look, we'll do one Facebook. Okay. We've had so much fun with the football chat. We'll just do the one Facebook post. This is from Eastbourne. Anyone with wind chimes in their garden needs to take a long, hard look at themselves. As if it's not bad enough having to put up with the noise of the wind, we'll have to listen to the racket of your bloody chimes all through the night on top. So very impassioned here. Is this the sort of thing you're expecting from the Facebook forums?
I mean, it's the sort of thing I'd expect from a smoking egg, certainly. I think, you know.
Oh, yes, yeah, so just for context, the profile picture. I have that realization every week. The profile picture of this person is an egg with a cigar in its mouth.
Yeah, because you're right. Otherwise, that would either seem like a massive insult to someone or like I've hallucinated.
I don't know what you're looking at right now, but okay.
He's high off Basil again. He's off in mine, honestly.
I mean, of the problems in Eastbourne, I would imagine that wind chimes are not high up on the list.
No, yes. I think, not to play devil's advocate,
but you're going to.
But I will. You know, let's create some talk radio debate.
Yeah, here we go. I often describe this as a low-stakes LBC.
Let's get James O'Brien up in here. I think Eastbourne's pretty windy. So I think a wind chime...
Can't talk about old people like that. That's really not appropriate.
I think it's a wind ageist. Chime mm-hmm. in the garden in Eastbourne is actually quite a big... deal. I think it probably would cause a raucous. I think
a raucous.
You know, ruckus. Raucous. Well, it'd be a raucous sound.
A raucous ruckus.
And I think
I suppose it would sound like a 5-year-old smacking the shit out of a glockenspiel all fucking night long, wouldn't it? That would drive you round the bend.
Yeah. So people that own wind chimes vary.
I bet they also have dream catchers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's either going to be a very sort of hippie crowd or it's going to be someone very old who's got it.
Well, as Eastbourne. Sort
of Eastbourne, of course, sorry.
So I relate to this Eastbourne person. I have a vendetta against wind chimes. You've gone pro wind chime over here at Ten
Megan. And it states in the thing, it's not bad enough to put up with the noise of the wind. The wind chimes add to the noise. You know, this person's already annoyed at the wind, mm-hmm. doubling the power of the wind. You know,
What's wrong with wind? Well, is it that bad?
Let's ponder on that over the break. Have a little think. Text in. Let us know what you think. Is the wind that bad? That's our big discussion this week. Is the wind that bad? We'll be back after the break. We'll be getting into some missing words from headlines. We'll be getting into a bit of a debate, but it's already got quite heated. So God knows where it's going to go from here.
If you say you like Nev the Bear more, I'm going to flip off.
Oh, it's going to get tense in this. Kate is fists bared, ready to go. I will try and break them up as we head into this break.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Things have de-escalated here. Kate did not lamp Ted in the end, thankfully.
Only because you stood in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I face up to Conor McGregor and I consider you on a level with Conor McGregor. You
got what level would you say I'm at? Okay, don't take that long, I feel. Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson. George Foreman.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
I'm like fighting a dead guy.
Yeah. You were just saying in the break, though, that you have not to make you sound even more of a Basil Brush obsessive, but you have a pitch for a Basil Brush movie. Can we hear it?
Okay, so this is a great idea. Basil Brush film.
I love any pitch that starts with, this is a great idea. Right, let's get into it. Go on.
Basil is told by his agent he'll never work in telly again. He's too old and they're getting rid of animals off TV.
Right.
This leads to all animals, and puppets. So like Sooty, Zippy, Gus Honeybun.
Okay, some of them were a bit creepy, to be fair. So, like Zippy.
This is all great stuff that could be explored in the movie. and they all basically, Basil's like, what's he going to do? And he puts on like a bit, and I'll admit my influences, a bit like the Muppets movie where they put on a big show in a theatre. He goes and sort of recruits all the old Sooties and Zippies, and I'll just keep saying those two, I guess.
Yeah.
And all the others.
And all the others. That were
et al.
Et al, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can even have like American Big Bird, like, you know, cameo or something. And
that's my nickname.
Yeah.
Well, that's who I meant, of course.
Obviously.
You want to play Big Bird in the movie? Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Fine. Casting done. And then they, you know, come back and it's basically, it's a rally against ageism and puppetism. And, you know, it's a real battle cry.
Puppetism.
It's a real thing of, you know, what Britain, it's what Britain used to be, aka full of puppets on TV at primetime slots.
I mean, this is a real example of like social justice in action, isn't it?
Yeah. I heard that actually.
There's also the Magic Roundabout cast get involved as well. But they're not puppets. They were sort of. But I think there was a sort of live action-y thing. Though they're on my list of potential, you know, recruitments. The IP law on this is going to be a.
You're really not going to win this. I do actually have a story about the puppet decline on British TV. Is that it's all like the BBC Children's head of department. So they'll just come in and out, obviously. And the current BBC Children's head hates puppets.
Really?
So anything that is puppet related that is not by the Henson Company just gets kiboshed. Because do you remember Gordon? You don't know Gordon the Gopher? Yeah.
Obviously.
He used to be Phillips Gopher. Well, now it won't happen because of Philip Schofield. But before that...
In the broom cupboard.
Yeah. I mean, it writes itself. It really does. But there was a BBC pilot to recreate Gordon the Gopher.
Right.
And it got like so many more views than any other pilot. So much public support. There were like news articles about it. So much buzz. And the BBC children's head was like,
"What?
Yeah, my puppets."
This is why this film is going to work. And it's got a great tagline. Every puppet needs a hand.
That's pretty... Okay. I would say the best thing about it so far is its tagline.
I disagree. I think the premise and everything else is. But that's also... You know, and that's what's good about the film. It creates a discourse.
It's a starting point.
Exactly.
It's a starting point.
Speaking of premises, you've got a new show coming to Edinburgh.
Seamless link.
Thank you very much.
You're very good at this.
I've been doing it 11 weeks now, so...
I'm really on my way around.
do you know, the next step is... Because I'm 11 weeks in, I've got seamless transitions. The next step is to not mention that the transition was seamless.
Yes.
Because... That's what I've been doing every time.
Of course. And also to say seamless rather than sleamless. And eventually you'll get there as well. So, yeah.
One step at a time. Don't put too much pressure.
I really shouldn't have friends on this show. I should have comedians that I'm acquainted with who don't feel comfortable bullying me. That's
That level of you, they feel like, well, actually, he might not
get
it.
I don't think the listeners will agree with that.
They want to see me being bullied by my dear friends.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
You've got to keep your feet on the ground. Otherwise, this FUBAR radio is going to go to your head.
Yeah.
You know?
I am walking differently. I've got a bit of sort of like FUBAR arrogance about
me. I did wonder what was going on down there.
Yeah. Oh no, that's different. I've got a lump. It's fine. I shouldn't have said that. That's very ominous.
Mate, 11 weeks and no more. That's
We're really in the weeds
anyway,
of it now.
Back to the sleamless link.
The sleamless link.
So here we come, seamlessly to Ted Billigan. You have a show coming to the Edinburgh Fringe.
I do. Yes. It's called Basil Brush Unleashed. Yes, I do. I've got a show. It's called Ted Milligan United. And I just got sent the Eventatron to finish setting it up because I haven't done that. And yes, it's called Ted Milligan United, and it is about football, which is my favourite thing.
Yes,
I thought Basil was your favourite thing. Sorry.
Second favourite thing.
Thank you.
What if Basil Brush played for Plymouth Argyle?
Well, actually, there's an episode of the Basil Brush show where he does play football with the. Anyway, so the show is about... well, with the kids, he comes on, I think, with the... Because he lives with... The girl from the Basil Bus show is now doing the adverts for Peroni Nought Nought that come on before First Dates. Now, that is something that when I worked out watching the adverts, I felt unbelievable. I was like, that's an unbelievable workout. That's the girl from the Basil Bus show.
Now, that's a seamless link.
That is seamless as well. So, yeah, it's about football. It's a character comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. All set in a fictional town called Crubchester. And it's all about the fictitious football team's attempt. It's about the football team. They get relegated out of the football league into non-league, and they get bought by a six-year-old Saudi billionaire. And it's about them trying to run the club and get back into the division.
That sounds very fun.
We'll hope.
Yeah. When is it? Where is it?
It is at Pleasance at Dome at 11 p.m.
11 p.m. Pleasance Dome. Okay.
11 p.m. Pleasance Dome.
So. Are you doing the Fringe this year, Kate, or do you like yourself?
Neither of those are true, actually. I'm not going this year. Next year, maybe. Next year.
I have a glutton for punishment. I said a couple of weeks ago on this radio show that I wouldn't do the Edinburgh Fringe and that I was happy, but I am now doing the Edinburgh Fringe.
Where are you doing the Edinburgh Fringe, Andrew?
Oh, thank you so much. What a seamless transition. I'm at Cabaret Voltaire 2 at 8:35.
Is that, by any chance, Monkey Barrel?
Yes, it's actually a Monkey Barrel venue now, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Pretty big stuff.
Are they desperate this year?
Okay, look, you're never coming back on the show.
Scraping the bottle of the Monkey Barrel.
Wow. Okay.
Scraping those sweaty balls.
I'm only ever going to have guests in the studio who have some reverence for me. Okay. I cannot stand this level of disrespect.
What time did you say you were?
8:35 p.m.
PM. I can't make it. That's when I'll be washing my hair in prep for my show. Sad.
A daily hair wash, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Nice. I'll stick on to your show. It's called Young Gay and a Third Thing. I'll be taking up my previously toured show.
Oh, fantastic.
So nothing original.
Nothing original. No. Oh, my goodness. What was unleashed against me? Okay, look, I'm going to get out of this.
I'm just jealous because you're so fabulous. That's what it is.
That's very kind. Thank you, Kate. That's very sweet.
And you're fabulous, don't like you.
Yeah. It's palpable. It's a real sort of hateful energy radiating.
Sexual tension.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Like, guys, let's get Basil back in. Yeah. Let's just turn off the cameras and let's have an orgy.
And never speak.
Why turn off the cameras?
Let's turn on the cameras, let's put it behind a paywall, let's make some money out of
Thank
this
you.
And have an orgy.
And then I can make some money ready for Edinburgh next year.
Yes. Smart. There we go. Right, look, this is, you're a real struggle, fucking hell. Oh my God.
Don't worry, mate, you're seamlessly doing this.
I was going to say, you're going to struggle to believe this, but this is actually a news-related show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been really hot
Obviously.
On the news.
Yep, just got the BBC notification, Andrew White bullied.
it's affected his performance at the Fringe this year.
This Fringe at 8:35 at Cabaret Voltaire, Monkey Barrel, 28th of July to the 10th of August. Will it be affected? Who knows?
Rachel Reeves to make statement tomorrow.
But while we await that Rachel Reeves announcement, I have a few sort of low stakes headlines here, and I've taken a word out of the headline. Fill in the blank. Tell me what is missing from this headline. Okay. Football club apologises for holding a minute's silence for former player who blank. What is that missing word or phrase?
I know this story.
Okay, would you?
But is that going to ruin the game?
Well, let's have Kate have a guess, and then you can come in with the real answer. So the football club held a minute silence for a former player who is blank.
Wrote a shit limerick.
Wrote a shit limerick. Do you think it's a... Well, you know. Is it limerick?
No, they thought he'd died and he hadn't. So
yeah. Hold a minute silence for a former player who is still alive.
He was in the car and he got like a call from someone being like, are you dead? And he was like, no. And so the club...
How did they think he died?
That's the bit I don't really quite know. They'd obviously been told it by someone, and rather than even doing like one bit of research, just went, well, fuck it, minute silence it is, he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, you think you might want to check.
Yeah.
This was in Bulgaria, Sofia. Arda Kadarzli, I should have thought how to pronounce that before I said it, held a minute silence in honour of Petko Ganchev before Sunday's game, but he's still alive.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were all like, there was a great... clip from the club being like, yeah, we're really sorry about this. We just thought he was dead. And he was like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm gonna have a nice big glass of whiskey when I get home to celebrate.
If someone like thought you'd died, would you like use that as a chance to like escape and lead like another life?
I would scroll through the Chortle comments. That's all I want. Oh, Chortle obituary. Yeah. Let's see what other comedians are saying about me.
You don't want to see that.
No.
I mean, imagine
I don't want to see what you're saying
to
about
today.
Oh, yes. What's happening behind my back? Christ.
I think I've always thought about this. I would like to die.
Oh, I think we need to do an intervention.
I would like to die and be able to go. I think everyone should be allowed to have one day once they die where they go to their funeral. And they should be like that. I don't know who's in. I don't know. You know, if the big man's listening,
yeah, he is. Kylie Minogue, you know, God, they're all listening to the show.
If basically, then you get yourself one day, you die, and you're allowed to come back just for your funeral to see what it's like, and you know, vibe out there.
Oh God, fuck that.
Oh, never mind then.
If you could come back for one day, would it be...
No, you're right. I'd come back for Cabaret Voltaire at 8:35 p.m. August the 6th.
Come on, get that promo in there.
I feel like there's something... Your funeral is for people that are still there, right? Yeah. So you're not actually benefiting from it. It's just them having a sort of,
well,
you know...
My mother actually had a living wake. She's still alive, but she had a living wake last year. And I suggested, she didn't take this up, but you know at weddings you get those big love letters, so it's L-O-V-E, and like big sort of light up letters. I said she should get death.
And oh, that's great.
Have that on the dance floor.
Yeah.
But did she actually?
No, she didn't. But she did have a living wake.
She'd have had die, laugh, love.
Die, laugh, love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, so that was a bit of fun. Yeah, maybe you can have a living... You could just organise your own living wake.
I nearly did host my own funeral a couple of years ago as like just something for an ego boost. Because I was like, really, you can't be mean to someone at a funeral. It's just not... It's not
but,
on,
but
really.
Everyone would know it's not your funeral.
No, that's true, but they might hope.
They hope.
That's true.
Well, then, if they're hoping, do you want to be there? That they're there going, oh, thank God he's dead.
I went to a funeral recently, not to brag, and they were doing a thing. They were doing a thing where it was a Catholic service.
Oh, the Catholics. So they go on and on.
They were like throwing all this incense about.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I was right on the aisle when they chose to swing it in my direction.
Is that a euphemism?
No, this was an above
right
board funeral. It wasn't.
The thing about the Catholic Church is they have to be mental publicly, so that the private stuff is more deniable.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh no, that's just another mental thing that's been made up. You see?
Mm. Oh, that's so smart. And they swung all this like incense, and right in my dad and I, we were right by the and we were just like, oh crap, like that so loudly, because obviously it was just at the start of the packet, I guess.
So it was the strong stuff.
So it was a really strong. Tears in my... Obviously, I guess that's why
and
they do it.
And everyone's like, oh, it's a bit early to cry. Calm down, babe.
And also, there was a choir on the...
Oh, yes, on the upper bit.
Yeah, which we didn't realise. So they started singing. We went, what the fuck's that?
So I went to two funerals in the space of a year. One was sort of like a non-religious funeral. Boom, bam, get out of there. Order of service was just like A4 printed. Then I went to a Catholic ceremony. That shit is leather bound.
Yeah.
It goes on and on and on. And then, they had this thing on the upper. We didn't have a choir, though. We just had like local volunteers who came to sing the hymns, but they weren't very good. So
that's awful. That's the other thing. I always think like you could really, a really good opportunity for the church is like merch. Because at the end of the funeral, church merch at the end, if you get like a nice framed picture, you know, you could donate a little bit to get a bit, one of the ashes or something, you know, like just your own little bit. I don't know.
I think there's a whole opening for like comedy funerals. Like, I mean,
can't spell funeral without fun.
Right. 100%. That's a tagline. Exactly. /, also,
he's great at taglines.
Chortle.
It's great at tagline. Put that on a poster. So, look, we've had a lot of fun on this show. We don't actually have time for a debate, but then we got so hotly sort of back and forth about the chimes that I think that'll stand in as our debate for today. Does that sound fair?
100%.
I disagree.
Well, here's the debate. Is the format of this show. What do you think? Is it good? Shall we keep on going?
I like the
Shall
bit with Basil Brush. I like that. I think that's a regular feature.
The bit where you weren't here. I like that bit as well. It's been so lovely to have you here, despite the horrible bullying that I've endured. Nonetheless, I will give you the grace of plugging your Instagrams. At Ted Milligan is nice.
Questionable.
But do go follow
that
Ted.
That should be the debate.
Yeah, is Ted Milligan nice?
It's actually Ted Milligan's nice question mark.
It's at Ted Milligan is a horrible bastard on Instagram. You can go see a show, United, at the Edinburgh Fringe, Pleasance, 11 o'clock every night.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Which Pleasance?
Pleasance Dome.
That's a good one. Lovely stuff. Kate Martin will not be at the Edinburgh Fringe, but nonetheless, she is well worth keeping an eye out for whenever she's at a local comedy club or when indeed she does come back with her show. Are you going to do The Lesurrection? Is that going to be the name of
That's a great name.
It's a great title, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
A good name.
Yeah.
I'm taking it.
Imagine you do. You do look like a teenage lesbian, to be fair.
Thank you so much. I get that genuinely more than you'd think. I used to get Ellen DeGeneres a lot when I was younger.
Oh, yes. I
was going to say young Claire Balding.
Okay, Balding, I'd rather, it's going. We'll take that.
So at that Kate Martin on Instagram, Dr. Kate Martin, even. We didn't even get time to get into that.
Congratulations.
She's a smart, smart, very, very funny lady.
I literally only did it so it could be called Doc Martin.
Yes.
Ultimate lesbian.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's brilliant stuff. Fantastic. That should be your Instagram handle instead of at that Kate Martin.
I assume in honour of Martin Clunes, though, rather than.
Obviously.
The one and only. Lesbians love Martin Clunes, famously. Of course, the wonderful Basil Brush. Make sure you go check out. He's at the New Wimbledon Theatre. He's at the Bath Comedy Festival. Go
Check out Basil Brush.
Have you heard of Basil Brush? Check him out. He's bloody good.
Great new up and coming act.
Yeah. I think he's going to go far. You can follow at Football Radio, as I already said. I am at Stand Up Andrew. I am indeed going to the Fringe. That's not on sale yet, but keep an eye out. This is also a podcast. So subscribe, make sure you rate, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Really helps the algorithms, all that sort of stuff. Tune in every week. We'll be back next time with hopefully a less bullying co-host and guest. But nonetheless, thank you, Ted. Thank you, Kate. Thank you to Kieran in the production booth, and we'll see you next time.
Boom, boom.